Hi, I'm Lisette Rodriguez.
And I'm Jeremiah Rodriguez.
And this is Speaking Life Podcast.
Where we're inspiring hearts.
And transforming minds. I am so excited because we have a return guest, actually.
Yes, a return guest.
It's not her first time here, but she did so well last time, so we invited her back.
Phenomenal.
And last time. I know this is probably not going to be your last time here either. No, so let's just get that out of the way. Just get used to seeing her. Right? So this is Nicole Palmer Wilson.
Come on.
That's right.
Nicole Wilson Palmer. That's right. I changed that up. I'm sorry, Pastor.
Yes.
This is Nicole Wilson Palmer.
Yes, that's right.
Tell
I'm
us
so
where
happy
you're from.
To be back. I am from, like, church-wise?
Church-wise.
Okay, I am from Restoration Family Worship Center, where the pastor is Pastor Glenn Wilson and Pastor Maribel Wilson. It's actually where you guys came from, right?
So it's our home church.
This is my youth pastor, so we have history.
Yes, a lot of history.
So, yeah.
A lot of history. So we decided to bring Nicole, I call her Nikki, back to the podcast. First of all, I want to apologize for being absent for a minute, because it was a minute.
It's been a minute. As my mother likes to say, life be lifing. So, I think we've been off for a month, right?
Yeah, it was just crazy. Honestly, it was his fault because he's getting married. So he took up our days to record for marriage counseling.
Well, not only that, but we were moving. There was other factors in place. And again, life was lifing. So we had to shift our attention briefly. That's all.
So we're back now.
I am so sorry. I am so sorry for inconsistency, but we are back.
Yes.
So getting back to the nitty gritty. Today we have the privilege of having Nicole with us today, and we want to discuss the topic of our will versus God's will.
Yeah.
Because I think that's where a lot of our disappointment comes in, when our will doesn't align to God's will. But here's the thing. We never ask God what his will is, because we just bring him a demand list.
Yeah.
And lately we've gotten better. We don't only bring him a demand list, but we tell him how to do it.
Right. Instructions.
So yeah, we give him instructions with our demand list.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about that today, because I feel like a lot of us suffer and we end up saying, well, God was never there. And some of us have left the faith.
Yeah.
God never answered my prayers. You know, I believe God and it didn't come through. But we don't go back to the root and ask the hard questions.
Yeah.
Right? And I experienced this not too long ago. So about a month ago, I was on a plane on the way home from a pastoral retreat. And there was somebody here that was very sick in the hospital. And I just believe God. I mean, I declared, I decreed, I prayed in tongues. And I was somewhat at peace because I knew that God was going to do what I was asking for.
Wow.
And I was desperate to come home. I was on the plane. We were going to go straight to the hospital from the airport. And while I was on the plane, something came over me and I started to worry. And I took out my iPhone and I took out my notes and I started to write God a letter. And it must have been, looking back now, it must have been that I already felt.
I'm telling you.
That things weren't going to go the way I was declaring for them to go.
Yeah.
So I started writing God a letter and I started justifying as to all the reason as to why he should keep her alive. Mm. God, you need to keep her alive. God, she means the world to us. God, you know, you should keep her alive because it's going to bring salvation to her family. God, you know, we're believing. God, we've been praying. God, your people need to see a miracle. I mean, I was just like typing it all out to God in the letter. And when I finished the letter and I closed my phone, I started to weep. And I kind of felt like the tighter I closed my eyes, you know, the more I started crying. I mean, I was to the point where I was afraid that the stewardess were going to ask, like, are you okay?
Yeah, are you being kidnapped?
Are you okay? Do you know this man next to you?
Right.
And I heard the Spirit of God ask me a question. Lisette, when are you going to pray my will?
Yeah.
And here's the thing. I started to cry even more because if I'm going to be honest and transparent, I never prayed God's will for that situation because I was afraid that there would be just a slight chance of his will not aligning to my will.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And me being in my selfish state, I wanted what I wanted. Mm-hmm. We were believing, we were declaring, we were decreeing. I had faith that could move mountains. I mean, and you would have thought I would have learned this, right? Because like 7 or 8 years ago when Tony passed away, the same thing. I was angry and frustrated and talking to God, like, when are you going to heal him? You know, we've been praying for 2 years now. When are you going to heal him? Oh, yeah. When the Lord spoke to me as I was praying on my knees, and he said, Lisette, your faith will never supersede my will.
Yes, we can't twist God's arm.
My God. And here I am again, not learning my lesson the first time. And I'll be honest, I didn't pray God's will because I was afraid that his will wouldn't align up to mine. And I wanted her healing.
Yeah. I mean,
I wanted her restoration.
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
I love her dearly, so it's what I wanted. But then when the Holy Spirit asked me that question, Lisette, when are you going to start praying my will? I sank. Because to me, that was like God telling me, I'm going to take her. So get on track with what I'm doing.
What I'm doing.
You know, join me on this side because I'm not joining you on that side. It was just hard. And I want to hear about your experience because you just lost your brother, whom I loved dearly. Yeah. So talk to me about that. Did you ever pray, God, what is your will?
No. I believe, I guess, my family is so, I guess I believe we were invincible and I believe we were untouchable. So, and I believe that God just loved us so much. You know, I really...
We had him on speed dial.
Yeah, like I believe that God would never allow us to have this kind of trauma or this kind of thing happen to us. So even from the first day that Bobby went into the hospital, I believed that God was going to heal Bobby. I had believed in every prophecy, every word spoken over him that he was going to be healed. So... to me, it was like just another hospital visit, you know, and I just prayed. And even the day that he went in, I laid hands on him and I declared and I sang over him. And I just believed that God was going to pull him through. I'm like, you know, and even when the doctor came in and told us, you know, if he lives, he's not going to have any quality of life. You know, I told God in that room, God, if you're God, and you are who you say you are, you better pull my brother through this.
Wow.
Those were my exact words. I said it out loud. I said, if you are God and you are who you say you are, you better pull my brother through this. In other words, I ain't playing with you. That's what it sounded like. You know, like I ain't playing with you. You better pull my brother through. And from there, I laid hands on him. I sang over him. And every day for 3 weeks, just, you know. Some days I didn't go, not every day, but, you know, when I went up there, I would pray over him and I believed God. And there was a peace, you know, there was still a peace. I was like, oh, it's just another hospital stay. He'll be out of here in no time. It's just a matter of time, you know. And once it started getting really ugly, you know, like, okay, you know, now from the beginning, like you said, you had that feeling like this, like uneasiness,
right,
where you almost feel like you're praying against God's will. But you don't want to accept
it. You don't want to admit it. No, I'm not going to admit it. Nope.
I didn't want to admit it. I told my husband on the phone. I said, babe, something's telling me that this is the second day. Bobby went in on Monday. On Tuesday, I was telling my husband this. I was weeping. Something is telling me that Bobby's not going to come out of this. Something's telling me that he's going to see heaven, that God's going to visit him. He's going to see heaven. He's going to choose heaven over coming back to earth. Because why do I want to go back to live like that? If you're not going to heal me, I get it. I know the conversation. I'm not going to say I know, but if I had to imagine the conversation that Bobby had with God, if you're not going to heal me and make me whole, then I'll stay up here with you where it's safe. You know where I am whole, you know? But I told my husband, I said, I have a feeling that he had a visit with God and he got a glimpse of heaven and he doesn't want to come back. And I don't want that. And Mike says to me, but don't you think that's kind of selfish of you to think that after how he's had to live? And I don't remember what my response was. I might have not responded to that because it was pretty selfish of me to say that. I didn't want to admit that. So still, but even after that and crying because things got a little bit better. Remember? It was like, oh, yeah. He's squeezing your hands. He's wiggling his toes. Responding. He's responding, you know, he's opening his eyes. So things got better. So to me, it's like, okay, I'm going to keep the faith.
Right.
Even though I have that initial feeling, that gut uneasiness in my spirit that just told me, this is not going to end the way you think it's going to end. And like you said, either get in line so that you're not disappointed in the end or be disappointed in the end, you know? And the day that he passed away, I went to see him. That morning he coded and I went to go see him later on in the evening on the way to a church service. And I went in. And I just said, hey, Bob, I'm here. It's Nikki. You know, just letting you know that I love you. And I want to come back tomorrow. And I'm going to see you tomorrow. So I left there, went to the service and went home. I went to the service angry. I was very much still uneasy. There was something in that whole day that just was like, because he coded in the morning. They brought him back to life. And then I was just completely uneasy all day. And then because of that, I was angry. Like, God, like, where are you? You know, if you said you were going to heal my brother because of prophecies,
right?
You know, you said you were going to restore my brother's health because of prophecies. Then where are you? How much worse does this have to get?
You see, and that's the other thing, you know, as we already know, according to scripture, prophecy is the only thing we have the right to judge.
Yeah. Okay.
But when we like what we hear.
Yes.
We don't judge it.
We don't judge it. Oh, that's good.
We don't even ask God. Was this you? We just thank him.
$1 million. Yeah. Right. I'll accept that one.
we don't, you know, if it's in our favor now, if it's something we don't like, then we're like, oh, that wasn't God. But we don't judge prophecies. And that is the problem. And I think, I remember your dad said it, and I think he said it best. Prophets need to stop prophesying what they see.
Yes.
And start prophesying what they hear.
What they
like,
hear.
Listen, when he said that those words, they marked my life forever.
Yeah.
When I tell you, they're like written. I'm like, this is the reality.
Yeah.
How many people,
my God,
have received prophecies and then are upset with God when man's prophecy hasn't come to pass? Because we never bother to ask God, is this you? And that goes in line with our prayers.
Yeah.
You know, when we ask God for things, do we ever ask God, is this what you have for me? God, this is what I want. Bless me if this is what we, if this is what your will is for me. We don't do that. When we pray to God, we're like, God, this is what I want. This is how to do it. This is by the time I want it.
Yep.
You know, you need to do it by this. I give you the glory in advance because I know you're going to do it. Mm. Almost like we're twisting his arm.
Yes.
But his word says
that
we have the right to judge prophecy.
Yeah. Yep.
And then we get frustrated when the prophecy that we wanted to hear
doesn't come through. Yep.
And we get angry at God as if he had an obligation to fulfill.
Yes.
Something he never said.
Right. Yeah.
My God.
I remember sitting that night. I pulled up to the service and my aunt and my uncle were outside and I had already cried on the whole way there. And they saw me crying. Like, what's going on? Like, I said, just Bobby. That's all I could say because I just felt uneasy. I didn't feel good about the whole situation, you know? I even left the service early because I was uneasy. I'm not going to say what I was going to say. The service wasn't doing anything for me. So I left. And I left the service and I went home. And I just laid in my bed. And my husband could tell that I was off. I was just off. So I just picked up my phone and I was just writing a letter to God. And I labeled it, I'm angry, God. Like, today I'm angry. I'm angry because it's been 3 weeks that I haven't heard my brother's voice. It's been 3 weeks that I haven't, you know, seen him walk through the doors or, you know, it's been 3 weeks that we've been dealing with this and I'm wondering where you are. God, I'm angry. And just that week before, pastor has preached a message about Jeremiah and the potter's wheel. And when he first walks in, all he sees the potter doing is working on a lump. He said he was working on something.
Right.
He was working on, I don't know what you're doing with this lump.
It was unrecognizable.
Right? Yeah, I don't know what you're doing. I see you working on something. I know you're doing something with this whole process, but I don't know what you're doing with this lump. So in my letter, I said, well, God, I'm going to hand you over this lump. Because up until now, I tried to control the situation. In my prayer, you know, heal him, heal him, heal him. I'm declaring healing, healing, healing. Not once did I ask God what he wanted to do. So now in that moment, I had to surrender because it was getting too heavy for me. That one day was just very heavy. It was very, very heavy. And I think that now that I'm talking about it, I think that God allowed me to feel that heaviness so that because Bobby was going to pass away that night, he allowed me to have that, to feel those emotions, to feel that heaviness so that I can come to the point, to the end of myself and surrender it over to him.
He was preparing you.
He was preparing me. I'm going to let her feel this heaviness so that she has to surrender it over to me. So God, I'm going to, in my letter, I said, God, I'm going to hand you over this lump. I don't know what you're going to do with this lump of clay that I'm going to give you. But in my hands, I'm making a mess of it. I'm stressing, you know, I was still eating, you know, but I'm stressing, you know, I'm stressing. I'm getting angry. I'm getting overwhelmed and I'm going to hand you over this lump. You do what you want with it. And within minutes, Bobby passed away. And if you speak to all of us, we all have an encounter like that with God. My mom had hers. I believe my dad had his.
I spoke to your mom.
Yeah. Yes.
So that day that he passed, I went to the hospital after he coded. And your mom was asking me, like, you know, how's Kathy since her mom passed away? And I was sharing with her the experience I had on the plane. Mm. I said, Pastor Maribel, I was on that plane, I was crying, and the Holy Spirit asked me, Lisette, when are you going to pray my will?
Yeah.
So your mom busted out. She's like, you too?
Yeah, she had her experience, yeah.
And when she told me that she went through the same experience, my heart sunk.
It's almost like you knew.
Because I was still praying and declaring and decreeing. Listen, back at Hope, we got together one Wednesday night and I said, guys, I want you guys to pray. I want you guys to open up the heavens. I want you guys to reach God because we need a miracle.
Yeah.
And Nick, that 5-minute prayer, or was supposed to be 5-minute prayer, ended up like 25, 30 minutes.
Wow.
I mean, they started marching around the church. They started declaring, decreeing, shouting out his promises, his word. The power of God was so tangible in that. I just knew God.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, when your mother told me that, my heart sunk because I knew what it meant.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And we prayed over Bobby. And as we were leaving, I told my husband, I said, E, God's going to take him home. Mm. He said, Lisette, don't say that.
Wow.
I said, but God asked Pastor Maribel the same question.
Mm.
And he goes, well, but don't say that. It's just... You know what
still,
it is?
Still don't say that.
It's just like, you know, it's not what you want. And here's where we struggle.
Yeah.
I think, and I think Jeremiah could conclude with me, I think we don't ask God his will because we don't want to know it.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, most of the time
we don't want to accept it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yep. We don't want to accept it. We want our will because we're selfish in that way.
Yep. But one thing that God had to deal with me and even in that area was the fact that I explained to on my podcast as well how within that the week after Bobby passed, I hadn't spoken to God. I had nothing to say, really. And I didn't turn my back on God. I was just angry and I didn't want to bleed on God or curse God. I just needed a moment, you know. And now looking back on it, I just believe that I was just resting in him. Just in my anger, in my, you know, resentment, I was still just resting. I just needed a moment.
Remember, in our humanity, we do have limitations.
Yeah. Yeah. I had nothing to say. I was just like, I have nothing to say. And even when I try, like, because I do pray and because I pray often and I pray every day and that is part of my routine, when I would like, and at the same time, every day, it's just, I have a routine, right? So when it was time to pray, I'd be like, I have nothing to say. It's not that I hate you. I'm just disappointed right now, you know? And I believe, and he's so gracious, and you know that he was just like, all right. He didn't leave me. He was still there because I still felt a peace. Even in my anger, you know, it was just like a peace that covered that, you know? And when I finally did, it was about a week later, and I finally sat on the side of my bed, and I just wept. I cried for like 15 minutes. And when I say cry, like, remember like when you hugged me that night? Like, it was worse than that. It was like I was tore up. And finally, there was like a deep conviction where I was like, God, you know what? I'm so sorry. I'm sorry that I've allowed this pain that I'm experiencing to cause me to, you know, make you feel like you let me down. I forgot about your holy nature. Mm. About the fact that everything that happens to us is happening for us, and it's happening for our good. So I'm going to shift my focus. What is this here to teach me? What am I learning, you know, out of this, you know? But it was still like it was still hard to accept the fact that it was, I still, until this day, have a hard time accepting that this was his will. I know it was his will. I'm not saying that I don't know it was his will. What I'm saying is that I have a hard time accepting it. Because to me, and this is another thing, that God was like, well, the only reason why you're upset is because you felt like you could do a better job with the situation than I could. So if you thought that, of course, when it doesn't go your way, now you're going to be extremely upset. That's a recipe for disaster.
Absolutely.
You know? So that's when I felt convicted. That's when I felt like, okay, God, well, I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry. You're God and you're sovereign and I get it, but I still have questions. And he's still gracious enough, you know, to allow us to ask these questions. And I would say, ask the question to different people that they just wouldn't give me the answer that I needed. Like, my question is, until this day, like, why couldn't it have been different? Mm. If you're sovereign and you're God, why couldn't, you're God. You parted seas. You raised the dead. You healed the sick. The blind are seeing. This is the Bible that I'm reading about. So if you're the same God, why couldn't you do that for my brother? Well, that's the only question that I have for him.
Here's my reply. This is okay. Not God.
Okay.
Here's because I believe that each one of us have an assignment.
Yes.
And God gives us X amount of time to fulfill that assignment.
Yes.
Once that assignment is done, he takes us home. Because here's the thing. We, and Paul said it, we are foreigners here.
Yes.
Yeah. We don't belong here.
Yeah.
But we've traded in our citizenship from heaven for an earthly citizenship.
Yeah.
We've given up our rights in the heavenlies to stay here in the earthly.
Right.
Now, and we have evidence now, okay? We have evidence that Bobby, although he didn't have a pulpit, was constantly evangelizing.
Yes.
And these are not words. These are not, you know, this person told me, that person. We're seeing online text messages, copies, pictures, photos, DMs of how many people he encouraged, of how many people. And let's you know, look at the life of Jesus. Jesus only lived to 33.
Right. That's true.
So why didn't he live longer?
Yeah.
Right? Being the all-knowing, being the Son of God.
Yeah.
Talk about knowing who you know. It's all about who you know. Being the Son of God, he died at 33 because his assignment was fulfilled. Our goal should be to get to heaven.
Yeah.
We go to work on a daily basis, right? We clock in. We're desperate to clock out. Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. Get everything done, what they expect you to get done, because you want to clock out. You are thinking about five o'clock cannot come fast enough.
Right.
This is our mentality.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the spiritual, we clocked in and nobody's in a hurry to clock out.
I ain't trying to die.
But clock we out. Ought to be. We ought to be in a race to get to heaven.
Okay, so now this is my response to that, right? Because I feel like, now I know I'm being selfish. Now I know this, but I'm going to say it anyway because I have questions and I'm allowed to ask questions.
That's right.
And my thing is like, I guess you have to have lived with it, you know, to have seen how much he suffered and how much he didn't deserve it. You know the situation with his boys. Right. You know his sickness. Right. You know what he's had to endure. You know, like, and it's selfish of me. I know because there's people that are going through worse. Like, so it's selfish of me. But, like, dang.
It's not selfish. It's human.
It's human. Yes. But I am struggling with, like, that's it? Like, yes, he evangelized. Like, yes, he won souls. Like, yes, but what about abundant life? Like, where does that come in?
He has it now.
Now. See, now you ought to get me mad. I really just, this is the question that I have. And I'm being transparent. This is the question that I've been asking God. Like, I get it. Like, I get it that he evangelized. We saw his funeral, how many people came. We saw how loved he was. We saw the text messages and the messages that he sent out. The impact
he's still having.
Yes, the impact he's still having. Yes, I see all of that. So if you tell me right now that that's what it's all about, then I'll shut up. Fine, I'll accept it. But, like, I still feel like, so then what was all the sickness for? What was a thorn in his side for? To keep him humble? To keep him at the feet of God?
It could have been what produced. Pain has the power to produce.
Yeah.
And many times without pain, we don't produce.
Yeah.
Paul wrote the best letters and some of the epistles behind
jail.
Yeah. You know, and he wrote it. He said, listen, I was shipwrecked.
Yeah.
I was naked. I was cold.
Yeah.
But yet God continued to get the glory.
Yeah.
So when we compare our modern day lives compared to the martyrs, what they really suffered. I mean.
Yeah, I guess.
When I look at the life of Peter, I spoke about Peter on Sunday. When they went to put him on the cross like Jesus, he said, no, I don't. That death is too good for me. Mm. Hang me upside down.
Yeah.
You see, it's like, you know, I think sometimes we forget that our goal is to get to heaven. And I get it. I get it. Please don't think I'm crazy.
No, yeah, I know.
In my humanity, my son is about to get married. I want to see his wedding. I want to see his children. Yeah. I want to see his grandchildren. Children, yeah. I want to see. This is my human side, right?
Yeah.
I want to see all those things. So what am I saying? In essence, I want to go to heaven, but just not now.
Yeah.
Can we be real?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we're saying. I want to go to heaven, but just not now.
Right.
Now, if like you said earlier, I believe with you that Bobby, when he coded that morning, got a glimpse of heaven. We can't be mad at him for not wanting to stay.
No. Yeah.
The thorn on his side that God could have removed.
Yes.
And chose not to, let's be honest, because yes. I'm not going to try to defend him.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
He lived 39 years,
yeah.
You know, with that thorn on his side.
Yeah.
And maybe even while he was suffering, while he was tired, maybe there was days he didn't want to suffer anymore. And maybe there was days he still had the fight to want to continue to go. I don't know. Yeah. All I know is that his life wasn't a waste, even though he endured so much pain.
Yeah.
And here's the thing that we got to be careful with pain, because when I lost Sister Sonia, that Saturday, that Sunday was Pastor's Appreciation. So on my way right into church, you know, I'm crying the whole way there. I'm trying to relax. I get to church. I run into my office. I try to, you know, get myself to, you know, control again.
Yeah.
As I'm walking into the sanctuary, I start crying again because I walk on the side where she normally sits. I get up front, and I didn't tell God I'm not going to worship you. I was like you. I didn't tell him I'm mad at you. I didn't say nothing. I just stood there in silence, and I cried.
Yeah.
But because he knows us,
yeah.
Right? And he said, Lisette, don't let your pain blind you.
Right.
And when he spoke that to me, I knew what he was saying.
Yeah.
So I started to worship. I started to worship because it was affecting my position as a worshiper. Yeah. The pain.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I got to hear from God and I got to see him in a different light. But here's the thing. Even understanding God's will, it's okay not to be okay.
Yeah. Because yeah, I'm accepting that.
We are human.
I'm accepting that. I think that because we grew up hearing, don't question God. You don't get to question God's sovereignty, you know? And I've freed myself from that, like from that religion. I'm free from that now. So I do. I have questions. I allow myself to feel but I'm open to his responses. You know what I mean? Like I'm open to hearing from him. I am going deeper into you because I want to know the answer so bad. I need to know your mind about this. So I'm going to stay at your feet until you answer me. You know, and maybe he's giving me the answer. And I'm just not accepting it. But this is part of grief. You know what I'm saying? Right. This is all a part of grief, and I'm allowing myself to feel, you know, all the feels. But, you know, but I still am experiencing the peace of God, even in the pain. You know what I'm saying?
But that peace that surpasses all understanding, because sometimes it doesn't even make sense.
It doesn't make sense. It really doesn't make sense. Don't make me laugh again. It doesn't make sense. The peace of God doesn't make sense. You know? So I don't know. But I do agree that our will and God's will, we have to start asking God more about what he wants as opposed to what we want.
It's just, I believe a lot of our prayers aren't being answered.
We ain't praying right?
Because we're not asking God to start with. God, is this your will?
Yeah. One thing that Pastor said also, I think he said it at the funeral, about like we're the general, like we want to twist God's arm.
Right.
Like with our prayers, you know, like we want him to do things our way, you know, like who do we think we are? We were created for him. Not him created to be our genie or our, you know. Right. No, we were created to bring him glory and to, you know, to be made into his image. And so that's another thing. I guess I am learning things through this process, right? Because I'm learning now how to pray.
Yeah.
My prayers have changed. And now it's like, God, your will. Today, I need to hear what you have for me today. Today, I need to hear your voice. Today, I need you to reveal your mind to me.
And here's the thing about that. Sometimes we ask God, you know, give me vision. Let me see clearly.
Yeah.
And then we get upset when we see what we see.
Yeah. Because that's not what I asked for. That's not what I meant.
He's like, you asked me to give you vision to see, but now you don't like what you're seeing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's been my prayer. And honestly speaking, my prayers have been so powerful even since I started praying that. Like, God, I just want to know your mind for today. I just need, there's a message that my pastor preached too about downloading. I need the daily download for today. I only pray for today. I can't pray for tomorrow. I really don't. I pray for today because I need to know who you're sending me to today. I need to know what you, just download my agenda for today. You know, I need to know his mind. And that has, it's this whole process is changing how I pray because that disappointment was different.
And we need to understand that, yes, we have power. Yes, we have authority.
Yes,
yes we have through dominion. Christ. Yes, we have dominion through Christ, like you said. But right when he's asking the prophet Ezekiel, shall these bones live?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, only you know.
Yeah.
And why did those bones come to life? Not because Ezekiel said it, but because he was repeating what God spoke.
Yes, that's good.
So you have to ask what his will is.
Yes.
He said it. Only you know.
Only you know.
Only you know. He didn't dare tell those bones live. He said, only you know. He said, okay, then prophesy. Thus saith the Lord.
Yes.
When did those bones come back to life?
Yes.
When he repeated what God said.
Yeah, that's
so good. Our prayers must align with God's will.
Yeah.
And if we get into the habit of asking God, God, what is your will? God, this is what I want, but what is your will?
Yeah.
God, this is what I desire, but what is your will?
Yeah.
We wouldn't be so disappointed.
That's the truth.
And many of us wouldn't leave our faith.
Mm.
Many of us have left our faith because we prayed believing God for something. And then what we prayed for never came to pass. As a matter of fact, it got even worse.
Mm.
But it's in the trouble, right? Yeah. Pain has the power to produce. If God is trusting you with trouble, Paul said it too. He said, it's a privilege to suffer
for
his sake.
Yeah. Some people haven't even left the faith. They just stopped praying for things. I've been there where I felt like, you know, like let down by God, or like things weren't going in my favor in my life. So I'm just not going to pray about that. I'm not going to leave the faith. I still believe in you. I still believe that you died on the cross for me. Salvation is still, I'm still saved. But my belief in your ability to come through for me, that's out the window.
But then we're not growing.
Then we're not growing, but I was okay with that.
Because here's the thing, though. Anything that stays stagnant after a while, you stink.
Yes. That's true.
True story.
Jeremiah messes with water. He knows.
You drink stagnant water?
No, I'm just a plumber, that's all.
Oh, oh, I'm about to say. Oof.
That's what she means. I'm a plumber, that's all.
Oh, wow. I didn't know you were a plumber.
Yep. I'm
calling you next time. But any stagnant water you come by,
yeah,
that water tends to smell.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as the creation of Christ, we're called to evolve.
Yes.
Right? We're called to grow. Yes. You don't stay the same. And listen, these problems, these crises, these troubled times, they come.
Yeah.
But power, you know, pain has the power to produce. It's supposed to produce something in me.
Yes.
So we have two choices.
Yeah.
We become bitter or we become better.
Yeah.
But if I'm going to have to suffer either way, I got to produce some oil. Yes. I got to produce something great.
Yep.
I got to be better for it.
Yes.
Right? I mean, look at everything. The Apostle Paul, once again.
You love Paul.
I love him. I love me some Paul. When I get to heaven, I'm going to have a one-on-one. I'm just saying. I'm going to have a one-on-one. I've gotten to the point that when people are reading scripture, even if I don't know where they're reading, I'm like, that's something Paul would say.
Yeah, Paul was reckless. Love it for him.
I love him. But just learning. Listen, if you don't learn anything else, especially in your pain, learn how to ask God, what is your will? Like, start off your prayer like that. God, I want your will over mine. Let's start there.
Yes. Even when I get up there to lead worship, I'm like, God, your way over mine. You know, when I'm in anything, in any conversation that's about to happen, a meeting, God, I just want whatever you have. Because it's already established in heaven. That's what the prayer is. Right. Let your will be done as here on earth as it has already been established in the heavens. We're only pulling down what's already been happening.
What's already been established. Right.
So God, when I pray that and I say, God, give me your mind. It's already done. I just got to connect. Right. Now I just got to connect, you know. That just got to tap into what's already been done.
That's it.
You know, so our prayers have to change. I agree. God, let your will be done. My kid's life. In my marriage, in my church, in this grieving process, whatever I need to know, whatever's on your mind, whatever you know, I want to know.
Right. Because we are his representation here on earth.
Yes. And how can I make him known if I don't know him? If I don't know what's on your mind, I can't make you known to anybody else.
It's true.
You know?
So if anything we've learned today is please pray God's will over your own. So, yes. Nikki, thank you so much for joining us once again. And this definitely won't be the last.
No, it won't.
We're going to have Nikki back soon, but we just enjoy conversation with you. And we thank you so much for sharing your experience with us.
Thank you.
For sure. And if this has blessed you in any way, shape, and form, and I know for a fact it has, do me a favor, hit the notification button, that bell in the corner. Share with your uncles, your aunties, your cousins, your cousins second removed.
Your grandmas.
Just share your grandmas, all of it. Just, you know, share it with everybody, all right? Yeah. Until next time, guys. Have a blessed one.